Welcome to Prosperity, how to apply spiritual laws to create health, wealth, and abundance in your life. Modern-day body-mind explorer Randy Gage will guide you through achieving and accepting all that is your birthright. Randy is one of the foremost teachers of prosperity principles in the world today. Now let's join him in the studio as he takes you on your journey toward a higher prosperity consciousness.
It's a sin to be poor. Now, you know, Charles Fillmore shocked the religious community of his day when he made that statement, and I still shock seminar audiences today when I affirm that same statement. What Fillmore was referring to, however, was not a loss of morals. He was talking about unfulfilled potential. See, when you understand the true definition of the word sin, it means to miss the mark. And Fillmore believed, as I do, that when you're not prosperous, you're missing the mark that your Creator has for you. Because I believe you were born rich, prosperous, and happy. I believe you have a Heavenly Father who wants you to have the entire kingdom. Now, another viewpoint on this is the Course in Miracles. They define sin as a lack of love. Now, I really like that definition for sin because I believe love is the drawing power of your mind. I believe that having positive images is not enough. Love is the magnet that brings abundance from the storehouse. Now, let's talk about poverty for a minute, and then we're going to talk about what really is prosperity. I will tell you this, poverty is a vice. It causes sickness, murder, thievery, war, disease. There's nothing good about poverty. There's nothing noble about poverty. And this is very important that you get this concept through. Because if you're suffering like many people do, from lack consciousness, you probably have some very wrong definitions of what poverty is and some very wrong ideas or definitions about prosperity. And by that, I mean you've adopted beliefs that are not serving you in those areas. Here's what I believe. Sickness, lack, and poverty are simply illusions. Now you say, how can that? No, I'm really sick. You don't understand, Randy. Or, hey, you don't understand. I get paid this much. Or I don't have a job. I don't have money. But yet I can still stand here and tell you, sickness, lack, and poverty are illusions. Now I can say that because I can see the God in you, or the Creator in you, and whether you call it universal law or I call it God or someone uses a different name of your God than I call my God, that's not what this album is about. So please do not get hung up on labels. We're going to talk about the principles that transcend all labels. You have free choice. You were given free choice by your Creator. You have a choice to be a victim or to be a victor. Now, I believe being a victor is exercising your birthright. I believe living prosperous is living in harmony with what your Creator designed for you. I believe victims and victimhood, as I did for 30 years being a victim, I believe victimhood is a man-made state, a man-made disease. I believe that disease, poverty, and lack can only enter our environment if we allow it to enter. And by the same token, it works that way in reverse. Prosperity can only enter our environment if we allow it to enter. Understand this, if you understand anything out of this album at all. Prosperity is your birthright. It is your natural state. Now, you may be suffering from these beliefs that there's something noble about poverty. Now, this is really very much a result of the mass culture that you have programming you. The television, the radios, the newspaper, the movies you go to. Think about how they portray millionaires. We had the crazy, wacky millionaire in Gilligan's Island. We have all the stories about Howard Hughes, and he grew his nails 10 inches long, and, you know, all this crazy stuff, all the stuff you read about Michael Jackson. And, of course, I think about Bill Gates, who, as of this moment, is the richest man in the world. And, you know, I bet out of every 100 stories about Bill Gates, probably 98 of them say something about he's a computer geek or he's a computer nerd or some kind of derogatory statement. Now, where does that come from? And if you remember the same thing when he got married, it was like, well, come on, could this lady really love him, or is it just for the money? That's lack consciousness, my friends. That is lack consciousness. Because I look at Bill Gates and I say, wow, that software he developed with his company, that's how many orphanages use that software, and how many hospitals, and how many organ transplant teams, and school systems, and man, how much good has come out of the work he's done? How many millions and millions and millions of dollars has he given away to charity, and computers to school systems, and all those kind of exciting projects that he's involved with? I look at the good the man has done, and I celebrate that. And I celebrate his wealth, his $43 billion or whatever it is. I celebrate that. Now, of course, you don't see that a lot in the press. You see a lot of snippy articles about him. Well, you know, he's a computer. He may have a lot of money, but he's a computer geek. And what you have there, I think, is a newspaper reporter, let's say, who's making $25,000 or $35,000 a year, who can't understand why a guy like Bill Gates could have $43 billion and they could have $217 in their savings account. But, of course, the reality is you get paid for what you will accept from your creator. Now, obviously, at this point in time, Bill Gates doesn't have a problem accepting wealth from his creator. And for that reason, he's got a lot of it. So let's talk about you. What is it? Let's look at the belief systems you have. Have you ever heard the expression, poor as a church mouse? What is that? Now, that's a culture creating the belief that there's something noble about being poor. There really is nothing noble about it at all. The gospel, which is used quite often as a poverty argument, is actually one of the depictions of one of the most prosperous arenas of our time. In other words, I love Catherine Ponder, and we'll talk about some of her books during this album, but I love what she did because she wrote a series called The Millionaires of the Bible. And see, I believe no matter what your faith is, I think the Bible is a great prosperity textbook. Now, just understand that it's been misrepresented a lot. A lot of people use that as an example of to justify lack, but there's nothing about lack in the Bible. The Bible is a very prosperous thing. Now, you hear things like the meek shall inherit the earth, but I can tell you this, they won't inherit the earth if they're making the minimum payments on their credit card each month. And you may have heard, well, you can't worship God and mammon, and that's absolutely the truth. Now, but look at what is mammon? And mammon is riches regarded as an object of worship. So what we're going to talk about on this series is the difference between worshiping prosperity versus celebrating prosperity. There's a big, big difference here. Now let's look first at maybe what is prosperity, and then we'll go back and look at this worship versus celebrate issue. What does prosperity mean? Well, I believe somebody who is experiencing prosperity in their life has a very strong spiritual connection with their Maker. I believe they have abundant health. I believe they have joyous relationships with the people who are important to them in their life. I believe they appreciate the beauty of nature, rainbows, the waves crashing against the shore, walks along the beach, the stars at night. I believe all of those things are prosperity. Now, I also believe that prosperity is Lamborghini Diablos and beautiful homes and nice clothes and taking trips around the world and having wonderful vacations and all of the physical things as well. Now, a lot of people have problems with that. And people, I bring this up in churches or I bring this up in seminars and they say, oh, you know, I was all with you till you started talking about those material things. Because, you know, I'm all for prosperity, but, you know, that those material things. Well, that's a mistake, my friends, I believe. Because, and I've always said this, I say, well, I get out at 3 o'clock in the morning and I get on I-95 and I get in one of my Vipers and I have the roof off. I got the Pink Floyd on the stereo and I hit that puppy from third gear to fourth gear and the stars are in the sky and the wind is blowing through. That's a spiritual experience for me. Just like walking along the beach in Maui with your pants rolled up and the waves lapping at your feet. That's a spiritual experience. Those things, those events, those times are God in action. To me, they're just God in action, and they're true spirituality. They're just letting our divine nature come forth. Is it really divine to be rich? Absolutely. Emerson taught you were born to be rich or to grow rich by other means. So it's not that we're going to worship things or we're going to worship cars, but we're going to celebrate them. I think about when I flew to the World Cup because I wanted to see some of the world's greatest soccer players. And I flew there, and that's a prosperity thing for me. I think of Game 7 of the World Series, which we just ended, which I flew all night and all day to make sure I could get home, be there in the stands, just me and 70,000 of my closest friends sitting in a stadium, bottom of the 11th inning, couple of guys on base, the score is tied up, and Edgar Renteria drives a line drive up the middle, and Craig Counsell comes and crosses the plate, and 70,000 people as one erupt into total pandemonium. It was the first world championship team we've had down here in South Florida in about 25 years. It was just a magical time. That was prosperity. And there's prosperity in all things. And it doesn't have to be expensive cars. See, it might be somebody who gets their very first car, which is an old beat-up Chevrolet Vega. But that's their first car, and it takes them where they want to go. That's prosperity to them. And when you take an old pair of shoes that you don't need, and you go down and you give them to the mission, and somebody else gets those shoes, you know what? That's prosperity to them. And it's prosperity to you because you were able to give them away. There's prosperity all around us. We have to celebrate it. We have to enjoy it. We have to experience it. We have to seek it out. We have to expect it. And that's just living in our divine nature. You know, there's nothing prosperous about getting a flat tire on your way somewhere unless you're the guy who owns the tire store. And then it might be the thing you need that gives you the extra money that raises your sales this week that you can pay the bill to send your daughter to private school. There's prosperity in everything. Now, I believe you have to put your Creator first. But then you got to realize that your prosperity is not tied to your job, your boss, your business, or the economy. What the experts say that the economy is going to do, your prosperity has nothing to do with those things. Those are all outside factors, and they have no bearing whatsoever on your true prosperity. You have to realize your prosperity comes from a divine source, and it's within you. So what you have to do, you have to be still, have to reprogram yourself, but just let that. You can't be treated for prosperity. You have to be open to receiving it. And just remember, prosperity is divine love in action. I think about 10 years ago, I was broke. I was poor. I was experiencing poverty. I was experiencing illness. And I got a book called The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. That was the time in my life when I really believed that I was supposed to be prosperous. There were two things she taught in that book, that two principles that I got out of that book that absolutely transformed my life. Principle number one was that God wanted me to be wealthy. Now, believe me, this was the craziest thing I had ever heard. All I knew about religion taught me that religion taught lack, and that good people were poor people, and that it was something spiritual about being poor, and there was something evil about being rich. Now, I never thought on a conscious level that rich people were evil, but of course, what I came to discover is that I was harboring that belief on a subconscious level. And I got to tell you, most people around the world today still harbor that belief, and that's what keeps them in poverty. In my case, I'd grown up poor. All my friends were poor. All I knew was poor. And all I saw, when I saw rich people, I never celebrated them. When I saw wealthy people, prosperous people, I never celebrated them. I always was jealous of the fact that they had what I didn't have. On every level. I mean, even when I saw kids who they had a mother and a father and their family did things together and they had enough money to go on vacations and do things and they seemed to have this close, loving relationship. And the kids who had mini bikes and go-karts and I didn't have. And then when I got older, the kids who could afford to get cars when they got to driving age and the people who lived in nicer houses and in nicer apartments. I was jealous of all that stuff. I always wondered, what was so unfair? Why did those people get things that I didn't get? So I did what I think a lot of people do, just like they do in the paper when they write about Bill Gates. I started to look for the bad things I could find in those people. So then I started to look for what was wrong in their life. So then I could say to myself, well, he or she may have a lot of money, but they don't have dot, 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 dot. And you see this a lot with people. Well, yes, they may have a lot of money, but money doesn't buy happiness. I bet they're all worried about taking care of all those cars and those houses, and they have to worry about getting robbed, and they have to worry about this and worry about that. And you know what? I really believed those things. Now, the funny thing was this. I wanted very much to be wealthy. And I spent my whole, just about every waking moment thinking about wealth. I wanted more out of life. I didn't like my life. I didn't like being sick. I didn't like being broke. I didn't like being in lack. So all I thought about was that I wanted to get wealthy. But yet, so here's the deal. On one sense, I wanted to get wealthy, and that was going through my mind. So I had this goal out here, which is, one of the goals I set was I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 35 years old. Now, the interesting thing that happened is that on a conscious basis, I was taking steps every day that took me further away from becoming a millionaire. The kind of work I was doing, the things I was doing, the lack of self-development, the lack of personal growth, the negative dysfunctional relationships I was involved in, the negative victim people that I was associating with, all of the things in my life were pointing me toward poverty. I had this vision out here that I wanted to be wealthy, but all the things I was doing on a daily action were taking me closer to poverty. Now, of course, that all came to a head almost 10 years ago when I lost my restaurant. It was seized by the IRS, and some of you who know me have heard this story, and I had no house, no car, no job, no credit cards, no money in the bank. Sold my furniture to pay the rent. I was eating macaroni and cheese three times a day, sleeping on the floor. My life wasn't working. That's when I gave up on the beliefs that I had to that point. That's when I gave up on the actions that I was doing to that point. That's when I was open to receive. And I got that book I mentioned, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. So here was this minister in this book telling me the first of those principles we talked about, that God wanted me to be wealthy. And this was finally a time in my life when I was open to receiving that, when I was ready to adopt that belief. Because all I knew of religion was lack. But what I had never understood is that there's a big difference between religion and spirituality, true spirituality. I had never experienced spirituality. I had experienced religion. And it's unfortunate, but most of the major religions in our world today are teaching lack consciousness, and they're not very prosperous. So that was the first thing I got out of the book. The second principle, the belief that I adopted from the book, was that my thoughts were an instrument for poverty or prosperity. Think of that. My thoughts as an instrument for poverty or prosperity. Now, again, this was another radical idea to me at the time. But I had all my other belief systems, and they weren't working for me. They were creating lack, sickness, illness, disease in my life. They just weren't working. So you know what? I dropped those beliefs. I dropped them like that. And I replaced them with beliefs that served me. And the two beliefs I replaced them with was that God wanted me to be wealthy, and that my thoughts could be an instrument for poverty or prosperity. And once I had the belief that my thoughts could be an instrument for poverty or prosperity, I started to shape my thoughts. I started to control my thoughts, and I started to put my thoughts on prosperity. Now, thoughts on prosperity doesn't mean looking at your bills and thinking, oh, I got to pay all these bills. There's nothing prosperous about that at all. Thinking as if. As a man thinketh. That book is probably the little booklet. It's called As a Man Thinketh. And, of course, they have a woman's version now, As a Woman Thinketh. I have to tell you, I've said for a year or two now, that book should sell for $50,000. Sells for, I don't know, $2 or $3 or something. It ought to sell for $50,000, because I think if people paid $50,000 for that book, they would really understand what that's about, and they'd really think about the thoughts that were in there. Now, let's go back to what Fillmore taught about prosperity, because this is going to be the basis of a lot of stuff we're going to talk about over the series of this album. He believed that there was one God, God the Good, omnipotent. Now, what does that mean, God the Good? Well, he didn't believe in a duality. He believed that God was only good, that God didn't create lack, God didn't create sickness, God didn't create famines, war, things like this, that they were man-made creations. Now, this really was founded by his wife, this whole movement, who a gal named Myrtle Fillmore, who the whole basis of her faith came on the fact when she developed, I believe it was tuberculosis. And she thought, this doesn't make sense. If God is good, God wouldn't want me to have tuberculosis. God wouldn't have had me born with these genes that were predisposed to this, or wouldn't have allowed me to inherit this from my parents, or wouldn't have allowed me to have no choice in this matter. There must be something I'm missing. If God is really good, then I had to manifest this tuberculosis somehow. And if I manifested it, I can manifest it away. And that's exactly what she did, was she cured herself, or she allowed herself to be cured, or she got back to her natural state, or you drop out wherever your belief system is is stopping you here. But she ended up a healthy woman who lived many, many years. Now, Charles built on that and said, yeah, if God is only good and God only wants good things, where do bad things come from? And they come from the free choice we have. And we believe that free choice is a good thing, and that God gave us free choice for a reason. And, of course, the example I always use is, if you were born in Maui or Kauai, Hawaii, if you were born someplace like that, could you really appreciate the beauty around you every day? If you'd never been in Cleveland, on January 6th, when it's 30 below zero, and it's a sleet and slush, and the cars are all stuck in the ditches, and the wind is whipping through, tearing like seem to go right to your bones, could you really appreciate Hawaii if you'd been born there and you'd never left there? Or do we have to see the other side of things to appreciate what we have at home. I believe we do. And I believe sometimes we have to have illness to enjoy our health. Sometimes we have to have sadness to appreciate our happiness. Sometimes we have to have lack to appreciate our poverty, or to appreciate our prosperity, I should say. We got to experience poverty to really know what prosperity is. And that's whether, how it was planned, I don't know, but I've recognized that that's a reality for human thought, that we seem to experience things better when we can experience the whole range of things and we can appreciate the things we really want to have. So Fillmore taught that God surrounded us with prosperity and that there's prosperity everywhere on this earth. Now, there's no place on this earth that prosperity is not. And that includes in the ghettos in New York City. It includes in Haiti, in Ethiopia, and anywhere and everywhere in the world.